the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, we are thankful that we are alive and that in the earth we can praise you. We can magnify you. We can worship you. We can testify of your goodness. Thank you, God, for the revelation of your word. Lord, activate every word in our lives. So, Father, that we may be exemplary examples of the clarity of your word, the wisdom from your word, the abiding knowledge of your word, and the understanding that causes us, O God, to flourish in every area of life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for this day. As we study your word together, let your goodness and your mercy follow us. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this wonderful evening and to explore the Word of God together. We're in the book of Proverbs. We're in the 11th chapter. And I believe we stopped in the 7th verse last week. And here it says, in the word of the Lord, in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 7, it makes this very important statement. It says here, when a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of the unjust man perisheth. This is a remarkable statement because whatever it is that people really desire is that they have a legacy, that whatever it is that they do passes on to the next generation. And wicked people, in their lying, in their cheating, in their accusations, in their deliberate actions to torpedo God's will for the people, also climatize themselves in an arena where everything seems to be going well for them, and they expect it to go on to their children and their children's children, to their family members and those close to them. But what the Word of God is saying here is this, that when that wicked man dies, what he was expecting as a follow-up ends up not to be what really doesn't happen for him. The children, they might have an amazing inheritance, and within that same generation, within a few years, most of the time, all of that wealth is lost. All of those resources wasted. Because when you've not worked really for stuff, you do not really appreciate it. It comes back to haunt. And they don't understand that they are, it's not just the losing of whatever it is that they are losing right now, but that they are passing that through their loins to their children and their children's children for four generations. There are consequences to actions. And many times people don't see that. You know, they just see the wicked person just flourishing and everything is going well. And I was listening to one of our Call to Victory broadcasts recently. And I was talking about something I was thinking about for close to 2 weeks, why it was that I didn't have to water the weed and it was flourishing. And I had to water my grass for it to stay green. And these weeds are just growing. Why is that? And so I reflected on it. The more I thought about it, the more I saw that the devil always feeds on things that are bad. And it seems like it is overtaken and taken over. But there comes an end to all of it. The Bible, the Lord talks about the field where tares were sown in. And the servants came to the master and said, "You sowed good seed. Where came all these tares?" And he said, "An enemy had done this. While men slept, the enemy was sowing his seeds." And he said, "Should we get rid of them now?" He said, "No, leave it alone. Let them both grow together. But at the harvest time, take them out first. Because at the harvest time, it will be very clear what tares are and what weeds are." Now, God sometimes, it's like the Word of God says, He's slow to anger. He's not willing that anyone perish, but that people come to repentance. And so He doesn't act as fast as we would like Him to. And so many people just believe the lie. Wicked people make it. Good people finish last. It's not true. It's not true. It's just a lie. It's just a lie. Even if a good man does not experience all of the rewards that he can experience while he's alive, eternity proves otherwise. While the wicked is burning, the righteous continue to live on in the presence of God. He says, "And the hope of unjust men perisheth." The hope of unjust men perish. Well, I really don't like talking politics that much. But the hope of unjust men, two times now, in close proximity, the past president who's running to be president again of the United States has been shot at. And the hope of unjust men is that he was dead. In fact, politicians verbally have said, "This man needs to be eliminated. He should be on the bullseye target. He should die." They're not even hiding it. And twice now, their hope ended as nothing. My prayer is that that will continually be the same, and that God will stop that, because they don't need that in that country. Politics should not mean being shot at, good or bad. People just have different ideas, and they should present their ideas and let people vote. The hope of the unjust man perisheth. In my life, I've seen this happen too many times. People just target and have their own ideas of what they're going to do and attack, 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 and it's like water on the duck's back. It just rolls off. That is what God wants to happen, that the hope of the unjust people perishes, goes for naught. It does not matter that He, God, will expose the wicked activities and actions. You know, when I think about that first one, all of the truth is going to come out at some point. But the plan was, we'll let the guy shoot him, and then we'll shoot the guy who shot him. I can say that, but they don't want to say that. They're trying not to say that. But as soon as the shot went off and he drops, they thought the guy was dead. So, pow, shoot the guy who shot him. And I would say, we got him, we got him. Devil's a liar. He says, the righteous is delivered out of trouble. I'm not saying that our president is righteous or unrighteous or whatever. But the word of God is very clear. The righteous is delivered out of trouble. So what should I be? I should be righteous. I should stand in the place of righteousness. Where do we get our righteousness from? From the Lord, who's made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So, in real terms, looking at that particular passage, I can boldly say the righteous, or those who are in Christ Jesus, are delivered out of trouble. It didn't say there will be no trouble. It says they're going to be delivered out of trouble. However, the wicked cometh in his stead. In essence, the righteous is delivered and the wicked fall into that same trap and is not delivered. Praise the Lord. Now, these statements become true for us when we embrace it as truth for ourselves. If you are seeing the wicked flourishing and getting away with murder, but you, the righteous, you are always in trouble, always defeated, always struggling, then that would be your testimony. But we have to come back to the Word of God and say, this is not my portion. I am not wicked. I am not the unrighteous. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, I receive and have my deliverance from every trouble. In Psalm 91, three times God talks about the deliverance fact. Deliverance by snatching you out of the trouble. Deliverance by causing you to escape. And thirdly, deliverance by strengthening you so that you can face up with the enemy and defeat that enemy. But whichever way, it is deliverance. God wants you and I delivered. Amen? So whatever it is that's happening with the people of the world, I should not be embracing that. Whatever is happening with the economy, whatever is happening, health-wise, whatever is happening politically, whatever is happening financially, whatever is happening in the world, that is not my problem. I am delivered from that. God will take me out of it. That must be the thinking of every believer. I am not of this world. I am not of this world. Well, all of this is happening. Oh, we should run for this. And I am not of this world. I follow the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Who told you that while you are running, you might not run into trouble? God, my Father, you are my deliverer. I rest myself in your peace. Lead me and direct me according to your word. These things are very important, and we should look closely at these things every day of our lives. Recognize that we are not of this world, and we are under the covering of the Most High God. What is the factor? That we abide in the word. Abide in the word. Stick with it. So that you don't become the one who is exchanged. Don't be that wicked one. Amen? An hypocrite, and that's a very interesting word there. A hypocrite with his mouth destroyed his neighbor. Now, generally, that word hypocrite in the Hebrew and in the Greek is representative of a two-faced person. That's what a hypocrite is. He's an actor. So actually, the representation of a hypocrite is what Hollywood is a sign or a logo for Hollywood. Okay, two face, one face this way, one face that way. Now, a hypocrite destroyed his neighbor. It's two-faced. Now, the Lord spoke to me many years ago, and he gave me a definition of what a hypocrite was. And he said, a hypocrite was one who reduces the truth to a livable lie. And it captures the essence of it. A hypocrite is somebody who reduces the truth to a livable lie. So what if the truth was this, we reduce it to this, and then we say, this is the new truth, or this is my truth. Forget the truth of God. Now you've become two-faced. And that truth keeps on dropping and dropping and dropping and dropping and dropping. And people lie through their teeth and straight face lie. And you think, wait a minute. Do you believe what you're saying? Or what is it that you believe? Today you believe this and you say this. And tomorrow you say that? What is the truth? What is it that you believe? And politicians are very good at that. Tell you this. Meanwhile, their mind is to do this. All they want is to get your vote. Get the vote. But you are not a citizen of this world. Because the word of God says, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. So we know that the just, verse 8, the upright in verse 8, is delivered out of trouble. And verse 9 now tells us, how God is going to accomplish that? Through knowledge. Through knowledge. Remember the three things that this book is all about. What are those three things? Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. It is a constant. If you want to understand the book of Proverbs, you cannot understand it without those three things in play. This is how everything about our lives is established. The book of Proverbs is how we live our lives. So, what is this knowledge? This is the knowledge from God, number one. God giving you an insight on what is going to happen. For example, when the king was coming to try to destroy the people of Israel, Elijah will have a word from God about where he was going to be positioning himself. He warned the king, and the king will escape through knowledge. Through knowledge. I've seen that play out itself in my life. Through knowledge. God giving me insight on what is going to happen, who's going to do what, when they're going to do it. And I stay quiet. I don't give up the information God has given to me. I act like I don't know. And on the day they're going to play that game, I switch off. They thought I was going to be here, but I was here. And whatever the plan was, collapse. Sometimes they fell into their own mess, into their own lie. God wants you and I protected by having discernment. In fact, that is one of the key things that we must have in this last of the last days, discernment. Let God tell you what's going on. Don't walk blindly in life. Don't walk blindly. Sometimes he might lead you and you see the trouble coming and you think, that's it. I'm trapped. And phew, snatches you out. Just picks you out. Sometimes he causes you to slide away. Like Paul did. They were waiting for him to kill him. And destiny helpers came by and dropped him with a basket down the wall, and there he was, going home, going to the next place. And they waited and they waited. One time, they vowed, because they knew they got him cornered, they vowed, we're not going to eat, we're going to fast, not eat until we kill him. I guess they had to break their fast and lie, or else they're dead. Well, every enemy will fail. God will give you knowledge. You know, things will leak. In fact, I want to pray that prayer right now. Heavenly Father, let every agenda of the enemy leak out so that your people are delivered from the snares of the enemy in the mighty name of Jesus. Let the agenda of the enemy leak out. Let there be an expose of things that they thought they could hide, exposed for all to see. So obvious that there's no way they can lie themselves out of it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you praise that it is so. Amen. Hallelujah. But through knowledge, somebody, I don't know who it is, but somebody is going to get information that they were not privileged or privy to before, and it's going to cause them to win a case, because knowledge is coming. I declare so. I declare in Jesus' mighty name that it is speedified right now, right now. Let there be a revelation from unlikely sources in the mighty name of Jesus that brings forth a release and a deliverance because of knowledge. In Jesus' name, we call it so done by the word of decree. Amen. He says, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. He says, when it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. When the righteous are blessed and things go well for them, he says, the city rejoices. People rejoice. He says, however, and when the wicked perish, there is shouting. I've seen that happen too. People shouting, celebrating the demise of a wicked person, but celebrating with joy. Because somebody that is righteous has experienced deliverance, the blessing of the Lord. Things went well for them. And that's exciting news. Now, how does that happen? When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. It didn't just happen. Righteous people need to declare the blessing of the Lord. If you want blessing, you got to sow blessing. A man who wants friends has to be friendly. Too many times we speak demise, defeat into a city, into a community, because of we're speaking what we see in the natural. But what the Word of God wants us to do is to speak the blessing. That's how we inherit the blessing. That's how things become good for us, because we're speaking blessings out of our lives, out of our mouths. It says, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. Last week, Saturday, we did the walk for Jesus, and there was a lot of prayers about, you know, blessing the city, blessing different parts of the community. That's how God wants us to operate. Every Sunday, Mama or whoever is leading in prayer prays for the city, prays for our politicians, city, you know, whether it's the city or the municipal rather, or the provincial, or for the nation, for our leaders. We speak the blessing. Now, that blessing that has been spoken will deliver us from all kinds of issues, because you're speaking blessings. The city is exalted because you speak the blessing, but so also are you exalted. So also are you exalted. He says, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Wicked people overthrow their city by speaking wicked words into that city, calling all kinds of crazy words into that city. And God saying basically to us, what do you want? Do you want the blessing? Do you want your city blessed? In Jeremiah tells the Jews, he says, listen, you got to bless the city where you are. Bless it if you're going to experience peace. Paul tells us, he says, We should pray for our kings. We should pray for our leaders. Pray for all men and women everywhere. If we want to experience peace, speak peace. Speak peace. Declare the word of the Lord over your community, and that is what you're going to have. But if you're going to be speaking wicked words about the city, about the community, and so on and so forth, don't be surprised that it is overthrown by your words. It's overthrown by words. He didn't say it's going to be overthrown by a military force. It says by words. Now, the manifestation of it might be through whatever corruption is happening, but it's overthrown by words. Countries, states, overthrown by words, wicked words. All of chapter 11 keeps on talking about wicked, 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 twisted thinking. The Hebrew word for wicked actually is an interesting word, rasha. If you can think a bit of it like this, they are rash words. Rash words, rasha. The Bible tells us about us being citizens of the kingdom of God. Citizens. The word for citizenship has its root in the word politics. It's quite interesting. So, basically, being a citizen of heaven means that you practice the politics of heaven in earth. That's your citizenship. And what does God's word say? How does God approach issues? He speaks life. He certainly speaks judgment on wicked things. But he says to us, I present you life and I present you death. Choose life. Let's choose life. Now, where does this life come from? It comes from the speaking. Your talk. How do you see your community? What are you saying about your community? Now, people might think you have lost your marbles when you're speaking good things about your city or your community, when they can see that all kinds of crazy things are happening. And they might be saying to you, you burying your head in the sand, ostrich. But you are prophesying. You're not confirming what the world sees. You're declaring the glory of God upon your community. Now, that same principle is true for your family. It is true for our church. What did you say about your church? Are you overthrowing it with the mouth of the wicked? Or are you speaking the blessings of the Lord? And it has been exalted. That's the key. What are you doing with your family? You speaking death to your family, or you speaking life to it? What are you doing with yourself? You speaking life to yourself, or you speaking death and overthrowing your own life. The same principle. It covers all of it. Basically, God is saying, watch your tongue. Now, verse 12, it's not really changing or shifting completely, but it's addressing another aspect. He says, he that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor. If you're despising your neighbor, he says you're void of wisdom. So what is it really saying? Well, despising means that you are not speaking well of, or you're putting down. You're not speaking life to. You have no respect or honor for that neighbor. This neighbor here is the next person sitting to you, sitting by you. It's not the person in that other house over there. The Lord Jesus Christ, in talking about the story of the Samaritan, asked the question, who was the neighbor? Who was the good neighbor? Is it the priest, the Levite, the Pharisee? The thieves that jumped the guy? Or the Samaritan who went and made certain that the wounded man that was left for dead was cared for. So they despised the neighbor. And there was a consequence to that act. They were not the good neighbor. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor. But a man of understanding. We talked about knowledge, and then now we're talking about wisdom, and now we're talking about understanding. But a man of understanding holdeth his peace. Oh, still talking about talk. I'm not going to speak nonsense, foolishness out of my mouth. I hold my peace. Why aren't you saying something? It's okay. The Lord proved that to us when he was going to the cross. He held his peace. He held his peace. He could have spoken judgment and wiped everybody out with one word, but he held his peace. And when it was time for him to speak, he spoke. But every time it was influenced and controlled by the wisdom of God, he spoke life. He took care of business. The word of God says in James, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will grant him that wisdom and will not upbraid him. Will not be harsh on him. He will grant that wisdom. When we are challenged and we don't know what to do, we ask for wisdom. Lord, I need wisdom. I have a particular situation that I need to address, a few of them. I've had to hold my peace. Because the wrong action can create serious consequences. I have to look down the line. Oh, but if you don't do something about it, you're weak. You're a weak leader. You got to do something. No. If you're meek, you inherit. You start speaking stuff, you can cause major damage. And innocent people will be damaged by your action. So you cry out to God and say, God, I need wisdom. I need wisdom to deal with this situation. I need wisdom to deal with this situation here. I need wisdom to deal with that situation over there. I need wisdom to deal with that. And God will grant wisdom. I don't know why the Lord is reminding me of this now or wanting me to make this statement, but I will. There have been situations where I have to handle some financial stuff, bills, whatever. And I address it. I write whatever it is I need to write. Dispense whatever I need to dispense. And then I stop at a particular spot. The Lord says, stop here. I don't know why. I stop. Only to find out that if I had written another thing past that one, I would have created a problem. God saw 8 months ahead what my financial situation was going to be and stopped me where I should stop and maneuvered through another way. Direction from God is of utmost importance. Following the leading of God is vitally important because God sees every detail. He knows where things are going to be at a particular time, and He knows what needs to be done at that particular time, how you're going to have to trust Him at that particular time, and He will cause you never to be ashamed. I don't know who that was for, but I had a quick date in my spirit that I needed to talk about that. Put your life in the hands of God and let Him direct your path. He will take you through easy days. He will take you through difficult days. Like Paul says, I've learned how to be content. Whatever it is, there are times when I abounded and there are times when things weren't as flourishing and as exciting as I would like it to be. But whether I had lots or little, I've learned how to be content, trusting God. Just trusting God. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay. I think I'm going to stop in verse 13 today. He says, a talebearer revealeth secrets. This is very important. If you have somebody that always has something to say about every other issue and other people, be certain that if they're talking about other people, they're talking about you. Don't forget that. And so what do you do with that kind of a person? Stay away from them. A talebearer revealeth secrets. You know what this person told me? No, I don't need to know. Because next time if I respond to what you're telling me about so-and-so, you're going to turn around and go and tell so-and-so that this is what I said. And things spin off so easily, just spins off. That's a talebearer. Don't tell anybody what I'm going to tell you now. Don't tell anybody. Why not? Well, if you don't want me to tell anybody, don't tell me. But better yet, it's not about me restating or rehearsing or rebroadcasting whatever the talebearer says, because the word of God is very clear. That's not what you're supposed to do. A faithful person hears something and keeps it. If somebody were to come to me and tell me something, nobody without their permission is going to hear what I said or this told me. I'm going to go, I'm not looking for the grave, but the fact is, it's not coming out of my mouth. If anybody hears about it, you must have told somebody else, but it's not going to come from me. But you got to tell somebody. No, I'm not going to be a talebearer. Only what needs to be heard that is going to be helpful is allowed to come out of my mouth. Talebearers destroy families, destroy churches, destroy businesses, destroy lives. Talebearers. They reveal secrets. They cause unnecessary problems. They're always spreading stuff. And most of the time, it's not the truth. So this becomes a real question that we must ask ourselves. What am I listening to? And why am I listening to that? I remember years ago, I believe it was pre-COVID, I had a dream. And in this dream, the Lord was asking me a question. What is the greatest problem in the church? I didn't know. and he opened this scroll or whatever. And written on that scroll was this word, gossip. Gossip was the biggest problem in the church. Gossip. A gossiper is a talebearer. What are you gossiping about? Are you helping to overthrow the purpose of God? Then you're making yourself a wicked person. Then you're making yourself an agent of Satan. Then you're causing, instead of causing growth, you're causing a decline. Because the talebearer is always creating stories. And if he cannot speak the truth, he makes up his own truth. Now, I'm going to go politics again. There is a city called Spring something. Anyway, the one ex-president that is running to be president in the U.S., they were in their debate, and he starts talking about people in this particular community that were eating pets, cats, and dogs of the community. And he was just pounding that. You know what I'm saying? Oh my. What's going in here? Even if that were true, as president, that's not what you should be talking about. Only to find out that the guy who is vice president, his vice president, made up the story with some other people so that the press can cover the issue that they were interested in covering, immigrant issues. And he's able to say that publicly while he's been interviewed. You know, yeah, I'd rather say that so that they can pay attention to our political idea about, because you guys will not cover it. What? The net result is that people, you know, are having threats for bombing that particular community. School is being closed down. All kinds of crazy things are happening because of a tale-bearing lie. Lies. Well, it's true that the guys in that particular community that you were accusing were busy catching the ducks. They were beheading ducks and going to cook them. that's the truth. You can just talk about that. Those guys over there are killing ducks and cooking. Because they're hungry. Okay, why are we talking about dogs and cats? It's nonsense. It's foolishness. And people do crazy things all the time. In the office where you work, tale bearers. Somebody came to you and told you about what is happening in their lives. What are you doing about it? You go into the next neighbor. Oh, see that lady over there? Yeah. They lost everything. The husband is beating her. The children are blah, 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 blah. That person you're talking to, if they cannot solve that problem, you have no reason to tell them. If you need to go to the cops and say, this is what this person told me, you guys need to check on it, make sure that it's everything is fine. They have authority. They have authority to do something about it. But you're just talking about people just to scandalize them. That's a no-no. That's unacceptable for believers. You only talk about things that you need to address because a solution has to take place. But be certain. Be absolutely certain beyond the shadow of a doubt that whatever it is that you're saying is the truth and nothing but the truth. And you're doing it for the good of those that are involved and not just because you want to scandalize somebody. But unfortunately, too many people that scandalize people. A gossip. They lie. They inflect. They do all kinds of stuff that's not kosher at all. And the worst of it, they say, I'm doing it in the name of the Lord. The Lord didn't send you that message. Churches have been split in all kinds of ways because of talebearers. Families torn apart, talebearers. I don't think you are like this, a person from this family, because you look different. Talebearers. All kinds of nonsense happen. But faithful people conceal the matter. They pray about it. They talk to the Lord about it. Now, let me say this. Sometimes stillbearing takes place in what might seem benign situations, even in a prayer meeting. Let's pray for so-and-so. Let's pray for brother so-and-so. Let's pray for sister so-and-so. About what? About this, 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 this. And the intent is not the praying. The intent was really to talebear. God sees the heart. He knows why you're asking what. He knows what you're saying. He knows the intent behind what is being said. And we have to faithfully commit ourselves to acting uprightly. When we do so, we will escape the agenda of the enemy, and God's name will be glorified, and our lives transformed, our minds renewed. God's life promotes us, establishes us, and causes us to flourish, blossom, and prosper in life. It is the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I have come that you might have life and have that life more abundantly. a man shall be satisfied by the fruit of his mouth. That's what the Word of God says. And we'll get to that when we get to Proverbs 18. Life and death, it says, are in the power of the tongue. Let's watch what we say. There are consequences to that. Good or bad. But what we should always choose is the good, not the bad. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, we'll continue next week from the 14th verse. And it's going to get even more interesting as we look at this other half of Proverbs 11. Amen. Well, are there any questions before we pray? Okay, no questions. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, cause your word to be quickened in us, in every area. We want to live life to the full. We want to glorify you. We want to honor you. And we're asking, Lord, for mercy. We're asking, Lord, for the eradication of everything that is unlike you in every area of our lives. We want, O God, to see your glory manifested as we walk in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Help us, Lord, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Help us, Father, to have proper application of what we are studying and listening to, that by the end of this year, by the time we finish this book of Proverbs, Lord God Almighty, that we'll be exemplary men and women of faith, walking uprightly before you, doing that which is right in your sight. Upright men and upright women, not talebearers, not gossipers, not wicked people, but people of faith. Thank you, Lord, that it is so. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. It's important that we honor God, because that is part of how he says he's going to bless us. And as we obey his words, we will definitely experience his manifold blessings in every area. Amen? Praise God. Now, this Friday, Saturday and Sunday evening, Friday evening, Saturday evening, and Sunday evening, we're going to have a group, our indigenous brothers and sisters are going to be using our facilities for a revival meeting. We pray for the good success of their gathering, that God will minister to each one as they come, that lives be transformed. But we'll be here on our regular broadcast and stream Sunday morning. Amen. And there's going to be a bar mitzvah Sunday morning also. That'll be interesting. So we look forward to all that God is going to be doing with us this Sunday next. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'll like for Ruben to come and pray for the Sunday service. Just come. And this October, we are going to be having three special meetings. And we'll have that information on the screen for you by Sunday morning for sure. And so do plan on Rosh Hashanah meetings, the Yom Kippur meetings, and the Sukkot meetings. The Rosh Hashanah, I believe, is going to be second to the fourth, 3 days. Yom Kippur, we're going to do 2 days, 11th and 12th, I believe. And then Sukkot is going to be 7 days straight. Praise the Lord. All right, go ahead. Please pray.
Father, our Father, we want to thank you for the grace we have to come to your presence to receive the word of life that will transform our life, that will make us to live a righteous life on this earth, and to receive the wisdom that comes from you, the wisdom that can make our life, our nation, our city, even our church to be exalted.
Amen.
Thank you for the revelation of your word tonight. Be thou exalted, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, we commit this Sunday's program into your hands. Starting from the onset of the program to the end, we ask that your spirit will enable us to come into your presence and bring us into your presence and remove every obstruction whatsoever that want to hinder us from coming to your presence. The Holy Spirit will remove it from our ways.
Yes,
and as people are coming, that you will guide their step, you will direct them, and they will arrive here safely. That you will keep every one of us from our house, even to the church. And when we are going back, you will protect us, you will guide us. Mm-hmm. And we ask, oh God, at the beginning of everything, many people that are coming, you will sanctify our soul that we'll be able to see your presence even in our life. Amen. And we are praying, oh God, that in the service, you will stretch forth your hands, oh God, to deliver the oppressed, to heal the sick, to open the eyes of the blind, and to give a strength and a fresh anointing on everyone that will come. Grace to serve you, grace to love you, grace even to abide in you.
Amen.
And we commit all the section into your hands, Father, starting from the education department of the children, all their teachers, that you will anoint them, O God, with your wisdom, that we're able to impart the knowledge of God unto them. And as these children are growing in you, O God, they will have the heart and the desire to serve you all the days of their lives.
Amen.
And we pray, O God, the chorister, the choir, the praise worship singer, the worship team, that we anoint them, O God.
Yes, Father.
Even to minister unto us a word and a song that will bring the presence of God into our life and into the service.
Amen.
Lord, we ask, O God, that the word that will come from the pulpit, Lord, you will anoint the word, a fresh fire anointing upon the word, that we do your purpose even in our life. The word of God that will build us up, the word of God that will deliver us in this generation, the word of God that will renew our vision, our focus, our strength. Father, you sent it forth unto us. And all those that we minister, we ask, O God, that you will anoint them afresh with a fresh unction from above, that they will receive from you and they will speak as the oracle of the living God. Though that we ministers in prayer, in reading of the word, even in the ministration, Lord, the ushers and all the medias, you will anoint every one of us to walk according to your will. That at the end of the service, all glory will be yours and all the blessing will be ours. Father, we thank you for many programs that are coming ahead because you are the one who has ordained this program. And we thank you, God, because we will see you in this program.
Amen.
And you will bless us in this program.
Amen.
Father, be thou glorified.
Amen.
And we commit all families in this church into your hands, that you will be with us, you will bless all family, you will be a guard unto all family, that no evil will befall any of the family members. And Lord, this church, O God, according to the vision ahead, we are praying for Operation Full House. We ask, Holy Spirit of God, that you will take control and bring us a full harvest according to your purpose and your plan.
Amen.
Father, we ask, O God, spiritual harvest, financial harvest, material harvest, you give unto us in full. I will glorify you because it is done. For we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so very much. God bless you. Well, we look forward to coming together again in the next few days and experiencing the goodness of the Lord. Be blessed and be highly favored. Do I have anyone